Welcome to Forward, a podcast by EasyCare, where we protect what moves you with your host, Corey Smith. The views and opinions expressed by guests in this podcast may not be those of the host or EasyCare and Apco Holdings Brands.
Welcome to Forward. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fixed Operations Training Director with EasyCare. I'm also with my co-host and partner in crime, Eric Howdige. Welcome to Forward.
How you doing, Corey? Thank you. Super excited to be on. We have an awesome guest today. Can't wait to get into it. Thank you very much, Corey.
Welcome our new guest, Kate. Kate, welcome to Forward.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, you better be, because this has been hard to get you booked because you're all over the place. So take a few minutes.
And so tell- are you guys.
Yes, that's true. So take a few minutes and tell our audience a little bit about you. What you do, what your title is, and how you got in the business.
So I'm Kate Borowski. I am the director of sales for Repair on Demand. I have been in the automotive industry for like 8-ish years. Initially started in the technician recruiting space and helping fixed ops find technicians, which is like the world's number one problem. And that's how I kind of fell in love with fixed ops. And so I've been in a couple different roles, all regarding on the fixed ops side. And now I am focused on the reconditioning side of the business and helping getting cars through faster, helping fixed ops directors actually be able to plan, reducing idle time, those types of things. So that's really where my focus is. But more importantly, I'm a mom. I've got two little kiddos, and I have a wonderful husband, and I reside in Wisconsin, which I feel like I need to share that because people will hear my accent come out, and I might as well just forewarn you all now.
I hear it now. Yes. So
it gets worse the more I get excited. So
let's get into it then. So the title of this podcast is Bridging the Gap Between Dealers, Shop, and Consumers.
So I am excited to get into this topic. So let's just get into it. Kate, one of the things that I'm always talking and speaking about is mindset. And one of the things I want to talk about is the modern consumer mindset. How have customers' expectations evolved when it comes to the vehicle repair and services?
So I can bring in two different perspectives. I can bring in the crazy busy working mom perspective. And that is maybe something different than you've had on your podcast of, it is a lot for me to go in and get my oil changed. I am the first one to say it. Like, it is for me, I'm like, crap, I need to plan this out 6 weeks in advance. Like, I do my hair appointment, which again, maybe you guys aren't, you probably have your haircuts every 3-4 weeks, but it is a lot. So I think that app, am I right, Eric?
Every single Saturday at 9 a.m.
So like you have your routine. It is a lot to get that scheduled. That should be in the mindset of any shop manager of, it's not my favorite place to be. When I think I've used this example on like Service Drive Live, when the service advisor's at my window tapping, saying like, come out of the car, let's do your walk around. And I'm like trying to hide goldfish in my car because my car's disgusting because I'm a mom. Like that is a difference within like just from a buying journey of how things have changed and how convenient it is. I will talk about this later a little bit more, but like the having mobile service, like, holy cow, has that changed my life? And having the walk around and you guys being able to tell me, hey, do you want me to check on this? Giving me consumer confidence that my vehicle is going to be safe, because my example is I'm literally driving to Florida in a month. I also know there's definitely a light on in my car. I know I need to get these things fixed. As a consumer, I need to know my car is safe for me, my kids, my family, but also I need it convenient.
And I love that. And you bringing up that side of being a parent and bringing up that side of having the kids is something that I had to learn when we started having our own kids. And I didn't see that because I wasn't experiencing it. So being able to say that on here to have people hear it can really help service departments look at a different point. And which leads me right to my next question. It's, what are some of the biggest pain points that customers face? And more importantly, how can the business proactively address them if they're not experiencing? How can they do that, Kate?
Knowledge is power, and it is intimidating when you don't know. And so as a consumer, a car is the unknown. Knowing what's wrong with it, what's broken with it, how much is this going to cost me? These are all the unknowns that I think cause anxiety, especially with bringing your car in. And I believe that it is so important for an advisor to educate someone. Just because it's boring to talk about wheels and rotors and everything else, which again, some of it's over my head, but if you're actually going to take the time to explain it to me of why do I need to get my brakes actually changed before the rotors go bad, and I could be messing this up, I'm not a technician, but like if you actually take the time to explain it to me, I can make a logical decision versus just shoving, hey, fix this on your car, and I think you might be screwing me over. Knowledge is everything from a consumer standpoint, and I think that that's an important aspect that we need to make known, that if you just take the time to educate them, they're more likely to buy, they feel more confident with it, and they trust you.
Boy, Kate, you're like butter on a roll, Kate. I love this. You can't stop you. You can only help to contain
carbs right now, Corey. Cutting carbs.
Not today, Kate. This is awesome. All right. So I think you're on the right track. I really like this because we preach about this in our training classes, is that knowledge is power. And we're teaching advisors how to be better presenters, not to be better salespeople, right? Educators. And that's exactly what they are at their core. They just don't realize that. Right. And that the customer, to your point, has all the information, whether they find it online or whether the advisor says, here's why you need to do this today. If you don't do this today, this is what's going to happen. Right. And give them that consequence. So I like that. So if we're really trying to bridge the gap, so to speak, with our communication with customers, miscommunication often leads to customer frustration. Right. It's a big thing on the survey. What strategies or technology should service providers implement to create clearer, more effective communication through the repair process?
So I actually really like the video, like MPI. I like having someone be able to show me what's going on, what my car is, and then I have confidence that something is fixed. So like from a technology standpoint, I think that's huge. One thing that I talk to dealers a lot about is when you're doing a walk around, not every OEM requires it, but scanning the car. We have a Blue Driver device that like literally, I mean, you guys can see me because we're on Zoom, but like it's a tiny 16 pin device that if you just do a quick scan and say, hey, Kate, while you're in here for your oil change, I know it's a pain for you to get here. Do you want me to check some of these DC codes that are on there just to make sure everything is good with your car? Like there's things that like if you physically are showing and presenting it to a consumer, you're giving them confidence. It's not that you're trying to pull wool over your eyes. I don't know what the DTC code. See, I even called it the wrong thing. The code is, but it's giving confidence that like you care about them and that you're actually willing to check it out. And then as an advisor, your goal is to obviously sell. Yes, but I'm going to be more confident because you're showing me the data, the proof. And in today's world, we are inundated with data in everything we do. The same thing for the buyer's journey. You need the data. You need to know what does this impact, and then they're going to be more likely to buy and trust you. It does come down to trust.
Kate, and I love what you say. I really do. The way you set it up really paints a picture for the person who's in the office, who's at the desk, who's servicing the building. A lot of times what we talk with the service departments is we become focused on the numbers, the processes, and all those things are great. But here's what's really important. One of the things that we need to know is it's what the power of transparency is. And to you, what's one of the biggest concerns customers have in trust? What can we as businesses today do to increase that customer trust?
I think overall, as an industry, we need to do a better job of sharing information about it's hard to answer, but like we need to educate the consumers of like, Why does it cost money to do a diagnostic? But no one realizes that like the apps, the amount of education it takes for a technician. And it's not just, hey, read the code and it gives a recommended fix. That's just the first piece. That's the first breadcrumb you have to go and chase and figure it out. It's conversations I have with my own family. They're like, oh, they're charging me too much, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, do you actually know how much it takes to figure that out, or how much time? Or do you even know how a technician is paid? That they're not paid until there actually was work done, and or they're paid on, they're paid flat rate. People don't realize that. And then they think that they're getting screwed. Because again, knowledge is power. And I'll say that a million times, that if they were educated on it, understood what it took, then you're alleviating that stress and anxiety. And then they're going to be more apt to buy. They're going to be more apt to understand it. And they're not going to be dreading coming in, that they at least feel like everything is taken care of, because the auto industry has had a bad rap for so many years that they just assume.
I love that.
Yes. Bingo, Kate. I wish I had some sound effects, because you're doing really, really well. You're on fire. I like it. Speed versus quality. We talk about this in our training all the time, Eric, right? We tell the advisor, slow down in order to speed up, right? So customers want fast-paced service, right? And as advisors, we're full of anxiety. We want to give that to them, right? So we skip steps because the drive gets busy, or too many customers show up all at once when they were supposed to be 10, 15 minutes apart. But they also want quality repair. How can dealerships and repair shops balance efficiency with high standards? And how does repair on demand assist in achieving this balance? Can they help with this?
So to achieve just the quality of repair, we feed off one another. If I was really high, well, I have a lot of energy, you guys can tell. You guys naturally get more excited. You see me excited, and if you feed off of each other. If you're busy in a service drive, you have a line of people, and you are stressed out, how do you think your customer feels? You need to take the time and slow down and realize, I can control the one person in front of me. This is what I'm handling, and they all deserve the same level of service. And I think if you feed off of one another, and if you have control of your emotions, your service, that you're going to have a better experience for the customer. And guess what? That guy is 15 minutes early. He realizes he's 15 minutes early, but you have anxiety for not knowing if he has anxiety. A lot of advisors create this made up story in their head of anxiety, and then it all feeds off of one another, and it snowballs. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. The word, when you mentioned the word anxiety, that really hits a nerve with a lot of people, because we tend to cover that anxiety with different forms of frustration, which then becomes anger, and then it's displayed between two good people. And I always say this: it's a good customer and a good advisor, a good service department. But that anxiety, the unknown, the what somebody feels is the lack of transparency, gets in the way. And what ends up happening is, that's where everybody's frustration between the customer not trusting the business, the advisor saying that the customer's too tough, it all starts to kind of unfold after nobody talks about the anxieties people have in service departments.
Well, and a lot of it's preventative. Human nature is to prevent an outburst. And we've all been in a service drive. We've all seen the crazy customer, and we're all afraid to have that customer come back. And, or is this next customer going to be that one that's frustrated, mad, absolutely unrealistic expectations? So we're all constantly trying to prevent that one customer from happening again. And you create it because you're so anxious trying to solve everyone's problems. And it's like, stop, slow down. You will service everyone better if you just take care of the one person in front of you and you do a good job consistently. But I'm human nature. I try to prevent anything bad from happening in the world. And then I assume anxiety is happening. And really, I made up this whole story in my head, and nothing negative is happening. So it's just slow down.
I love that. Okay, so does repair on demand have a way that it can assist in this?
So Yes and no. Knowledge is key. And like, there's a lot of stressors between the service drive and the sales department and getting cars through fast and being able to not have the transparency that you need. So again, very much like that. We have Repair 360, which is our reconditioning software that is intended to create transparency for sales, but also help assist that communication. So there's not so much friction between the two. So, I mean, that's really the core baseline of the product is really to help knowledge is what they need. And people assume if you're asking for an update on a car, hey, is this car ready? You assume it's negative that they're asking. And really they just want an update. So it's really to help alleviate that.
I like that. So leveraging technology, if we look at, and it sounds like you're talking, let's make this a seamless experience between sales and service, right?
Yes.
So they can communicate better. How is technology changing the way customers interact with this repair service?
When I think about how we interact with technology and like going in and getting your car fixed, or I mean, everything is technologically based, but also it doesn't replace the human interaction. And that to me is where I fear we're going, is we're over putting everything into a process in a text message, getting an update, that really sometimes it is nice to actually have the phone call. Don't just send me, hey, this is what I found on your car. Do you approve these services? That's great. You found those things, but it doesn't replace the phone call from the advisor explaining to me what's going on. That is one thing that like I've recently experienced of, okay, you sent me a list of things, but I don't know what it means. And I don't know if I actually need these things. So technology is a great thing, but also it does not replace that human interaction from an advisor. Don't just send me a bill and hope I check yes on all the things to fix. Call me and explain why I need these, and then I'll tell you yes or no.
Are you listening to the service advisors? That right. is gold. Thank you.
I do listen because I'm trusting that they're the educated human in the shop, because again, I can't fix a car. I expect they have a good relationship with the technician, and I'm expecting that since I can't fix my own car, I sure as heck hope the technician knows what they're doing and they're recommending service that I need.
So I was about to say you said one powerful, and then as I was trying to say you said one powerful, you came up with a second powerful word, and it's something that I've never heard be redirected in the way you said it. So I'm hearing it in this brain and my ears from the first time from you. Listen to what you said. Usually we speak about educating the customer, but now let's see it from the customer standpoint, and she's hearing it from the person who's educated. So that person is supposed to be educated from your standpoint on whatever, I don't like to use the words, whatever's being recommended to you so that people understand what we're saying, right? But again, we don't like to use those words. But here's a other powerful thing you said, and this is the most powerful thing for an advisor's confidence, the best thing that a fixed ops department can hear, and those are the words approved. When you say things like that, what we're really looking for is we're looking to maximize revenue. But can we maximize that revenue through mobile and on-demand services? And with that, with what mobile and on-demand repair services growing, how can dealers and repair shops leverage this trend to drive additional revenue and improve their customer retention?
I have a lot to say about the mobile service because I love it. I posted on LinkedIn a couple months ago that I got my car, my oil change done. And Corey, I think you have a Heritage Bronco, don't you?
Yes.
Okay. So do we. So, I had to bring that up, but I got both of our cars oil changed done 9 a.m. on a Monday morning. And I had to drive to Chicago for a meeting immediately after. And I felt like super mom, like, heck yeah, all this is done. So am I all about mobile? Absolutely. But there's some things that they did wrong. And I am happy to share that because I didn't get an MPI. I don't know if they inspected my vehicle. I know they changed my oil, but I have no idea. Like, was everything else good on my car? I really hope so, because I really do rely on that because I have a 2018 Buick Enclave. I know it has like 80,000 miles on it, and I'm assuming some service things are going to come up. As a buyer in the drive, you assume those things are going to come up on your car, that it's not just going to run for 200,000 miles without any service. So like, I'm expecting something. So service advisors listening, customers do expect to do maintenance on their vehicles. They get that's how the cars work. they didn't do a share anything with me. He changed my oil and he left. And then honestly, I didn't even get an email, my receipt. I know I gave him my credit card number, but like, it was a weird process of how I even paid for it. And then I was like, I don't even know how much I paid for my oil change. I knew like about what it should be, but like that process wasn't very clear. And I know dealers are figuring it out. They're learning. So I'm sharing this as open feedback of, I love the service. I love they came to my house, but also my expectation with any time I bring my car in is I hope they're looking out for me and making sure my car is safe. And I didn't get that confidence. I don't know if they even scanned my car, to be honest. Like, I would hope he would have. And then also the payment aspect of like making sure I did have a receipt, and like that process was clunky. They had to call me and take a credit card number over the phone. And that's weird. I would have liked to do that online when I booked my appointment, to just type it in and say like, bill me for this type of thing.
Yeah. So if I hear you correctly, mobile can improve from your point of view is to make it like you're actually at the dealership. Make it easy for me. Still show me the multi-point inspection, go over the repairs, additional services that are needed, and make the payment seamless. Am I hearing? Is that right?
Exactly. I mean, I expected, and maybe this is on me, but I expected the service to be the same as it is in a dealership, just at my home. I mean, you're getting your oil changed. Like, Am I wrong on that, you guys? Like, that's the whole bit, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the gentleman was great. He came back my car and went down and did it. But, and then he was done. And I'm like, see you later.
And you're not wrong. There is no wrong. The information that you're providing is information that's data for people to learn what customers really expect. That if anything, you're providing the valuable set of information of what customers really think and service departments never receive. So this information that you're giving out right now is there isn't a price on it. There is no way to quantify it. It's extremely valuable. And as I'm hearing you say that, I also
get a survey after, and like, y'all always send me survey, like dealerships, that's your job, is to send me a survey so you guys can get your survey. I didn't even get that. And like, I would have totally, knowing how a dealership operates, that most of the, I feel like the United States, no one knows how they actually operate. I didn't know until I worked in this industry. I would have given that feedback if they would have asked me for it.
And one of the things I know is that when frustrations, something small starts to build up in frustration, what it begins to consume is time, right? Because something that you're able to do in 5 minutes because you're frustrated now took 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And one of the things that we work with the people is downtime. Downtime is costly for businesses, right? They rely on their vehicles. And what are some of the best practices that these dealers and fleet managers can do to reduce times, to improve the turnaround time that they have for people? Well, what's your opinion on that, Kate?
I mean, literally downtime is the reason why I couldn't bring my car in to get it serviced, because I travel for work a lot, almost every week, getting my car to drop off there, having my husband when we have soccer, wrestling, baseball, basketball, all the things. It literally is impossible unless they're going to give me a rental car for me to be able to leave, or the service department hates it when you're waiting. I mean, it's always the joke is waiter's going to wait. There's a reason why they have to wait at the dealership. So like, it is really challenging, like as a consumer, to go in and do that. So that's why I wanted the mobile service, because that downtime, absolutely, like, it doesn't work for my family, and we have two cars and we're busy.
Yeah, it's I talk about technology, and I talk about, think about how many times we don't visit a bank, right? Think about how many times we don't go to restaurants anymore. Think about how many times we don't even go to, I just had to buy something a little while
ago. I don't even want to see my DoorDash for the last couple of weeks of us being sick. Cool, guys.
Convenient. We fulfill that time that because all these apps and all these wonderful ways of doing things is supposed to reduce time. But all we continue to do is fill that time with more things to do, right? So, one of the things that I talk about is with the evolving technology, customer habits, repair demands, what should fixed op directors, service managers, and business owners be doing now to stay ahead of these industry changes?
I think figuring out mobile service is huge. I mean, really, like, I know that Ford is dumping money into like the mobile service. I mean, I really do think that is going to be one of the bigger challenges. Even like, it would be great if you could do the brake job at my house and like not have to bring my car in. And I get that, or being able to go pick up cars for people, because we are working from home a lot of the time, and having that convenience factor of I need my car fixed. If you come and pick it up and drop it off, like I understand that it's totally a princess moment for me, but I would pay extra for it. So I think, again, it's that convenience factor of, as a parent, if that is your target base, is parents with vehicles that need their cars fixed, which is every dealership, having that convenience factor is going to be a huge piece. So any technology that is assisting with that, I mean, or also making it known to consumers that like, hey, do you need a car? You can bring your car in and I will give you a loaner car. I feel awkward asking for that. And I don't know if you guys realize that, but like, I never want to ask for something, but if you offer it to me, I would take it. But I feel uncomfortable saying like, hey, I really do need my vehicle, but like, is this something that's free? Like, the general public, I don't think knows that. I think some people just ask because they're bold. And then you have shy people like me, or it's like, I don't want to inconvenience the dealership. Cause again, I'm from Wisconsin and this is just our way of life of, are you sure you want me to take a car? Like, I don't want to inconvenience the dealer, but like making it known that there's those convenience amenities for you. And I don't think that's well stated.
I think you did wonderful. I think there's three major things that we need to really look at as an industry. And I know you're getting there, Kate, but embracing technology, 72% of customers prefer digital interaction followed up with human contact.
We need the human contact after, but yes.
Whether it's AI-driven scheduling, mobile service options, automated updates to enhance efficiency and customer experience, I think is crucial and vital for the lifeblood of our business in the industry that we love so much. Two, adapt to customer trends. Customers value transparency over price. 81% prioritize a seamless experience offering video inspections, real-time update, and subscription service plans to boost retention. When I go into your dealership or you come to my driveway, if you're not offering me an oil change package, you're missing out on the boat.
I've never been offered one.
I have subscriptions to outfit my outfit sent to my door. I have meals sent to me. I have Uber picking me up. Like, I subscribe to all this stuff. I have Netflix. I have Prime, all the things, right?
My printer ink is a subscription now, which I was like, hey, I got billed for it yesterday. I'm like, oh, there's $5. Like,
yes.
I'm writing all these things down for the next time that Corey says I'm bougie. I'm going to be like, here's all the things you have. And I just get a haircut once every Saturday, all right?
Once every Saturday at $50, okay? We'll get into that. Should be another podcast, right?
I love it.
He's posh, right? Now, number three is optimizing fixed ops profitability. EV repairs are on the rise 300% by 2030. Let me say that again. EV repairs, write this down, are rising 300% by 2030. And prepaid maintenance customers spend 200% more. Say it loud for the people in the back. 200% more. Invest in EV certification training and service to sales strategies to maximize those revenues. Those are the three things that I feel that you're absolutely nailing it, Kate, when you're talking about that. So truly appreciate that. We're going to switch gears here because we're in automotive and I like talking about gears. We're going to go right into overdrive here with this one. Taking steps for accountability for businesses and customers. If a dealership or repair shop or even a customer wanted to improve their vehicle experience today, what are three immediate action items that can implement to make a huge difference to the customer in your mind?
I would say for a dealership to improve their service, it starts with an advisor. And I know like it really does, the experience that the advisor gives the customer coming into the drive, and that human contact is huge, of welcoming. And also, I think, like, when I think of even today, go in, I've been working in dealerships for how long now? There's still that unknown anxiety when you walk in, and helping alleviate that. There's no technology for that. There's no, this is the human side of the business that makes the advisor so, so important. Helping alleviate that is going to be, I think, one of the biggest things that a dealership can invest in, is that training, that aspect, that, that human side of it, is going to be, I think, the number one thing that can make an impact, to the customer. I think if they're not doing video MPIs, if they're not doing mobile service, huge piece that is important. But I also don't know if the dealership, like, brags enough about all the services that they offer, or how well trained the dealership is. I think, like, again, I brought up, like, I didn't know you could take an Uber or a Lyft. Like, no one's ever offered me that, but I know in the groups I'm a part of, y'all talk about that. And it's so, like, that would be great. I would totally do that, so I can get stuff done during this appointment and not waiting. Knowing that you can get a rental car, that you guys would be willing to pick up or drop off or do whatever those things are to help service the vehicle. Like, those are things that, like, you should brag about if you're willing to offer those. Also, like, the lounge, or I don't know. I was in a dealer not long ago, and they let their dogs in there. And I was like, there's a giant German Shepherd. Like, I was super excited. Like, it's my dog's birthday today too. I will let you all know, because everyone cares about Gino, but it is an important, like, that's awesome. Like, I would think of, like, oh my gosh, I gotta go get my oil change, but I have my dog, I gotta run home, and the stress and the, like, no one, talk about the things that are good about your dealership. And
I love that. We talk about that in our training class all the time, that they are advocates. We don't have an ESPN that talks about all the great things that the dealership does. And that's the advisor's job. I love that, Kate. Kudos to you.
I've never been to these guys' training, just so you all know, that I am not reading from their script by all means. That, like, this is just me as a consumer coming out and saying this. So, like, Corey and Eric are clearly very legit. So
I appreciate that. Thank you. And you know what's really important as well? Easy Care loves our pets. And happy birthday, Gino. All right.
Happy birthday, Gino. We love
early napping, so we're not going to get him all excited, because then I won't be able to finish this podcast.
So we're right up against the time, Kate, and we've enjoyed this so much. What are your three takeaways in your mind that anyone listening can take away and put into action today?
Education is so necessary. A car is scary. It is unknown. There's a lot of pieces to it, and if you educate and take the time to do that for your customers, you're going to sell more. I would say a person coming into the shop is expecting to spend money. They're expecting you to find something. So don't be afraid to present it. But also, you need to, because again, that happens a lot. But also just walk them through it. Treat them like a human. You are not wasting their time. I have my own faults of that, of I'm always afraid I'm wasting someone's time by talking to them. And I try to talk as fast as I can to get it out of the way so I stop bugging them. You're not bugging the customer. You're educating them and taking that time. And this is just a pet peeve I didn't really talk about, but, like, just because I'm a female and I'm buying something from you, like, doesn't mean I'm dumb. and again, I say that nicely, but advisors, shop managers, it is different that, like, if my husband's there and I'm there, like, I'm there too. Like, don't ignore me. And, like, I'm also the one making a decision. And I also want to learn too, just because I'm not the man there. That's important. And I didn't talk about that at all, but treat it equal.
Put it into action. I like it. Kate, how can people get in touch with you?
The easiest way is probably LinkedIn, because I am generally all over LinkedIn. But my last name's BEI, if anyone is looking for me. So Kate Borowski. That's the easiest way. Otherwise, you can easily send me an email or a text message, and I'm sure Corey will put that in the show notes.
I will certainly do that. Easy Care is a total performance provider working alongside your team to help achieve your goals in F&I and across the dealership. We're an award-winning provider and administrator of F&I products and can provide the tools, knowledge, and training needed to help unlock the potential of your dealership. For more information on EasyCare or to be a guest on Forward, please feel free to send me an email at csmith@apcoholdings.com. Kate, that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being on this episode. And I'll ask this last question like I ask every guest. Will you please come back?
Maybe.
Nice. I love it.
I'd rather have a slow maybe.
I had to be a slow.
This is why I love having Kate on this show, because she does things like that are amazing. Kate, it was amazing to have you on. It was awesome to hang out and talk fixed ops, which is always great. And just from the world that you see, the automotive world. I love it. So, hey, thank you for being on. Really appreciate you. Please, let's keep in touch.
Thank you for listening to Forward, a podcast brought to you by EasyCare with Corey Smith. Be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast. New episodes are released on the 5th and 20th of every month.